ministry. The issue, or the topic, of this tape is that of invincible ignorance. And before we go any farther, allow me to define what I mean by invincible ignorance. Invincible ignorance is the lack of knowledge by a person of the fact that the Roman Catholic Church is the true Church of Christ, and or lack of knowledge by a person of the dogmas, that is, the truths of the Roman Catholic Church. And this ignorance cannot be directly attributed to any fault or negligence on the part of the person who is ignorant. Not only that, invincible ignorance implies, as best I understand it, that the person who is ignorant is prevented by cultural, psychological, emotional, financial, or historical, or geographic means, any or all of these, from coming to a knowledge that the Roman Catholic Church is correct. In other words, again, to amplify the issue, an invincibly ignorant person would be he who lives his life without being confronted or informed with the fact that the Roman Catholic Church is the church founded by Jesus Christ on his immediate successor, that is to say, as vicar, Pope St. Peter, and headed by the current successor of Pope St. Peter I, the current Bishop of Rome. Again, an invincibly ignorant person, or invincible ignorance, is that person who is invincibly ignorant, in so much to say that he is unaware of these things for some reason. The reasons may be any or all of the following: historical or geographical misplacement, emotional or psychological impediments, prejudice or improper education, or some other type of cultural impediment. By this I mean that the person who is invincibly ignorant is, quote, unable, unquote, to reason by his own ability and will to a conclusion that the Roman Catholic Church is the true Church of Christ, the depository of truth, and the means of salvation. When invincible ignorance is discussed, it is usually discussed in relation to the traditional Catholic doctrine of no salvation outside the Church. By this I mean that salvation is achieved by one and only one way. That is, by the proper application of the merits of Jesus Christ earned on the cross in satisfaction for our sins. This application is generally done by means of grace, and as these issues are not related to this topic, I shall be a little sloppy and carefree in my language on them. The issues particularly of no salvation outside the Church is a separate topic, and I shall deal with it only in so much as it is necessary for this particular topic. But the doctrine of no salvation means that there is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ, and there is no other way through to heaven other than through the Church, established by Jesus Christ, perpetuated from that time to the ends of the world as a means and the means of salvation for all mankind. Now, in general, the issue of invincible ignorance arises because men, in a sentimental desire to wish that other men will not be condemned to hell for something that they are, quote, not responsible, unquote, for, wish to believe that the invincibly ignorant person, that is, the person who does not know of the truth of the Roman Catholic Church, somehow is saved by some mysterious relationship to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the word mystery has several different meanings in theology. In the strictest sense, it is a truth unknowable by human reason. So, in other words, we have the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of the Trinity, the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, etc. These are mysteries in the true sense of the word. When the word mysterious is used by defenders of the view that invincible ignorance is, quote, an excuse, unquote, for those who are invincibly ignorant and somehow allows them to get to heaven anyway, they use it in the way which is used in the more generic or the secular sense. In other words, something which can't be understood, but can sort of be hinted at, deduced, and perhaps some conclusion can be come to by human reason alone. The mystery novel, the murder mystery, the detective story, is a situation in which certain clues are presented, logic is used, and certain deductions are made. Generally, when people talk about a mysterious relationship between the ignorant person and the church, this is what they mean. And this is a way by which they may avoid clearly defining their terms and explaining away the difficulties that this belief presents. The belief I am referring to is the concept that somehow the invincibly ignorant person may be saved without becoming a formal member of the Catholic Church. Now, it is an unfortunate characteristic of modern history that invincible ignorance, which I believe is at best a dangerous speculation in the theological field and is far more likely to be simply a matter of pure heresy, has become more prominent in the 20th century. It does not appear to have been a significant issue, that is, one upon which men of significance have disagreed, previous to the late 19th and early 20th century. It also appears that it became significant and important only, or shall I say primarily, in America when dealing with the situation of the possible acrimony between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant denominations. The traditional Catholic teaching that Protestants being heretics or schismatics or infidels or something, but they qualify as people who deny doctrines necessary for salvation, that is to say, the traditional Catholic belief that Protestants are destined for hell unless they repent, reform, and rejoin the Church of Rome, has somehow become unfashionable in the later part of the 20th century, at least, again, in America. Part of this can be explained by a desire for the Roman Catholic Church to become more accepted politically and culturally in Protestant America. And in a corresponding fashion, one can certainly trace the decline of the Roman Catholic Church as a spiritual force and as a moral bulwark in America, based on the fact that it no longer claims the position of being purely the means of salvation. Now, in this case, when I say the church, I don't mean true church teachings, and I don't mean true church men. What I do mean is church leaders, officials, and many lay people who have unfortunately compromised the teachings on this and have advanced invincible ignorance instead of it being simply a dangerous speculation to a point of dogma, now presenting a dual form of salvation. In other words, there is salvation for those who are Catholic, in the true sense of that word, who understand what Catholicism is and understand the dogmas of the Church. They must adhere to the Church and die in the state of grace, not denying any belief necessary for salvation in order to be saved. And there are the invincibly ignorant. The invincibly ignorant do not have to meet these qualifications. All they have to do is not be aware of the necessity of certain beliefs for salvation. They need only to live a naturally good life, guided by the actual grace that God gives them, and then they will somehow mysteriously be joined with the Church, although they receive none, or perhaps only one, of the sacraments, perhaps two, maybe marriage and baptism, but certainly don't receive the Blessed Sacrament and don't receive confession. Yet somehow, again, these people will be saved. Once again, I hold that this position is wrong. There are several reasons to believe it is wrong, and they deal more properly with the concept of salvation that I shall not deal with at this point. At this point, however, I shall deal primarily with the concept of invincible ignorance. And let me ask a question. Can a person remain invincibly ignorant? In other words, can a person fail to come to a knowledge that the Catholic Church is correct? Now, the problem with this is that invincible ignorance is a definition of all mankind ever. By definition, some of the dogmas of the Catholic Church necessary for salvation, as an example, the Trinity, are not possible to be arrived at by man's human reason alone. This is why they are called mysteries. Faith is a gift. We must understand that. So also is salvation. What this means is that it cannot be reached, it cannot be obtained, it cannot be possessed, it cannot be exercised, except by a direct activity of God into the life of the human being upon whom he bestows faith. The theological virtue of faith is infused in a person at the time of sacramental baptism. He is now capable and able of understanding and giving assent to the mysteries of the faith needed for salvation. Before that person is baptized, he is, in fact, invincibly ignorant. Every human being who has ever been born, with the exception, of course, of our Lord Jesus, but we're talking about the normal human being, the average human being, certainly the human beings alive today, are born invincibly ignorant. They are born unwilling in the certain sense that they cannot will themselves to learn, and incapable in the sense that by themselves, unaided by the supernatural gift of grace, they are both unwilling and unable to come to the knowledge of the existence of the true nature of God. This is primarily, these days, due to a fault of original sin. But even in our preternatural state, that is, even before man fell, he would be unable to come to a knowledge of the existence of God except by God revealing God's nature to him. Now, I said the existence of God. By this, I don't mean the intellectual consent that a supreme being exists. That, certainly, a man can reason to on his own. What I am talking about is the concepts of incarnation, Trinity, the Marian doctrines, etc. These doctrines cannot be reasoned to. They certainly can be defended on a reasonable basis. They certainly can be understood from certain primary causes. They certainly can be understood to be logical once the basic assumptions are understood. That is, the existence of God is all-powerful nature and is all-loving nature. But by themselves, they cannot be arrived at in the sense that they are needed. That is, in the clear sense, in the precise sense as defined by the Church, except that God gives us grace to understand it. In other words, without the gift of faith, man remains blind and invincibly ignorant. I think it is important to understand this, because when we talk about the ignorant native who, due to geographical or historical misplacement, is not in a Catholic country, we somehow are speculating or arguing that this person has been placed there by God without God having a plan by which he may be saved. Yet Scripture says that God has a plan by which all men may be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Now, it is very important for us to understand this. If God has a plan by which all men may be saved and come to a knowledge of truth, then God certainly understands and foresees the birth and conception of every single human being in the place in which that person is conceived, in the place in which that person is born, in the place and time in which that person grows up. If that person may not come to a knowledge of truth in some way, then what we have is a denial of Scripture, and what we have is a denial of God as we understand him, all-powerful and all-loving. Let us understand this also. As every one of us is born invincibly ignorant, it is only through the loving gift and grace of God that we come to any of the knowledge of any of the dogmas necessary for our salvation. And God, of course, may achieve this knowledge in any one of a number of different ways. But when God acts in a way beyond the nature of man, we may properly call this a miracle. Therefore, we may say that the baptism of every one of us was in fact a miracle, because it is not natural for our nature to be baptized, but supernatural to our nature to be baptized. Therefore, if God works a miracle for those of us who are professing Catholics, why then would we reject the concept that he would work a miracle for the ignorant native who is born in the geographical or historical outland? In other words, the man who lives and dies before a Christian missionary comes to him to preach to him the truth of Catholicism. If we are to believe that God has somehow deserted this person, then we believe that God does not have a plan by which he may be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Notice the point there. It is not simply salvation, but coming to a knowledge of truth also. Secondly, we must hold that being all-powerful, with God all things are possible. That is to say, that God may arrange other miracles, which seem slightly more out of the ordinary to us, by which knowledge of the dogmas of Catholicism may come to a man who is geographically, culturally, historically, or environmentally misplaced, out of the pale, so to speak, out of the Catholic environment. If we do not believe this, then we do not believe the words of Jesus, which were dealing exactly with this issue. When the rich young man came to Jesus and asked what he must do to be saved, and Jesus told him, and then he walked away, Jesus said that it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than what it was for a rich man to be saved. At this, St. Peter said, "If that is true, who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "For man it is impossible, but for God anything is possible. Nothing is impossible for God." Therefore, the concept of invincible ignorance is not invincible at all. God certainly can conquer it. God certainly can overcome it. God certainly can provide the means and opportunities by which a man may learn. And again, I point out that the mere fact that you are a Catholic, the mere fact that you have been taught certain things, the mere fact that you have been baptized, has raised you above your normal human nature. It has not only washed away the stain and some of the effects of original sin, but it has raised you to a supernatural level, and this is a miracle. We should not find it shocking or strange, nor should we limit God in any way to think that he cannot work similar miracles for everyone in the world. Certainly God can foresee when people are going to be born. He does foresee when people are going to be born, because it is his very creative act which causes conception to be fruitful. He understands where the person will be raised, and at that point a plan is put into effect. Now, Scripture clearly says these things, that number one, as Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, that when he stood in front of Pilate, and Pilate asked him if he were a king, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world, but I came into this world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone committed to the truth hears my voice." He also says in the Gospel of St. John that his flock, using the metaphor of shepherd and flock, his flock will hear his voice, they will follow no other. Now, we certainly understand that in Scripture, not every time when the word everyone or no one or all or every is being used, that we understand it to refer to every single person in the referent class. But this is one of those cases where it must refer to every person in the referent class. If Jesus meant everyone committed to the truth may or may not hear my voice, some will, some not, then his bearing witness to the truth is a useless act. Because bearing witness to the truth means validation, confirmation, and verification of truth.
Remember, Jesus said that his followers would know the truth and the truth would set them free from sin, and two, identified himself with truth himself. Understand this. If Jesus meant that people committed to the truth could go through their lives committed to the truth and not hear his voice, then he lied. It's that simple. If he lied, then ignorant invincibly or knowing everything in the world, we're not going to be saved, because the death of a liar on a cross can mean nothing in the economy of salvation. No satisfaction of an evil man on a cross, no amount of blood that he shed will do us any good. It was the fact that Jesus told the truth, bore witness to the truth, and in a certain sense at the apex of his life, during the Passion, right before the crucifixion, he said that the purpose of his life was to bear witness to the truth, and everyone committed to the truth hears his voice. In the Epistle of St. James, we have St. James tell us, now again, St. James is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the words he wrote are inspired by the Holy Spirit and infallibly correct. St. James wrote truth. Truth for all of us to understand, adhere to, and if necessary, die to bear witness to. And what he said is that if anyone asks for wisdom from God with a full heart and a full commitment, God will give it to him. Now, one of the definitions of wisdom would be understanding truth. One of the definitions of wisdom would be knowing where to seek truth. And one of the definitions of wisdom would be understanding what is necessary for one's ultimate salvation. Can the invincibly ignorant person, number one, be committed to the truth and not hear Jesus' voice? If he can, then Jesus lied. Can the invincibly ignorant person ask for wisdom from God and not receive it? If he can, St. James lied. We must also follow this further. When Jesus talks to his followers and to the Jews in general of the time, and when he tells them not to be anxious about tomorrow, when he tells them not to worry about what they're going to eat or what going to wear, or when he makes the comparison between the earthly father and the heavenly father, and when he says the earthly father will give physical sustenance to his son, how much more will the Father in heaven give such things? When he says that God has numbered all the hairs on our head, and that a sparrow does not fall without him being aware of it, and yet we are more precious than a whole flock of sparrows, how are we to conclude anything other than, as it says in Scripture, as St. Paul writes, God has a plan by which all men may be saved. God is aware of what's going on. And as it also says, God works out all things for the benefit of men. Let us understand that. Let us let that sink in. Now, what this means, of course, is that therefore the ignorant native, the invincibly ignorant person, somehow has to receive some supernatural aid to overcome the natural barriers. The example being, of course, the Protestant or the Jew or the Muslim who is raised by an anti-Catholic family and an anti-Catholic culture and is taught nothing but lies about Catholicism. Well, there are two points here. Number one, I have just described a man called Saul of Tarsus who became Saint Paul, one of the greatest men of the Catholic Church ever. Why? Because Jesus stopped him from going evil. And St. Paul does not excuse himself in his ignorance by saying that he was ignorant and that he was not responsible. No, he calls himself chiefest of all sinners. Interesting point. But number two, the supernatural grace given to any man, actual grace, is enough for man to overcome his ignorance. It is enough for him. Scripture teaches this clearly. So now, essentially, we have two positions here. The first position is that the invincibly ignorant person cannot, by his own efforts, overcome these impediments, these barriers, enough to understand that salvation is somewhere else. And he does not know and cannot learn that he must seek salvation somewhere else. The problem with this is that all of us are invincibly ignorant. We are all born that way. Every single one of us is born without the direct diffusion of knowledge to understand in advance what we must know to be saved. The natural law written in our heart can follow us only so far. And of course, in the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, it talks about how men will be judged by the natural law written in their heart. The natural law written in man's heart tells him that God exists, that truth must be consistent, and that there must be something beyond us, and that we must seek that something. In other words, the natural law in our heart tells us to be committed to the truth and to ask God for wisdom, as it also says in the epistles. Now, if a man does not seek that truth, if he does not commit himself to the truth, if he does not ask God for wisdom, then he probably will remain ignorant all of his life. And when he is judged at the last judgment, he will be judged for violating those natural tendencies written in his heart. And in that sense, the invincibly ignorant person will be quite justifiably condemned to hell, because he has done nothing to overcome the invincible ignorance. He has not committed himself to the truth which is Jesus. And if one holds that one can get to heaven without being fully committed to the truth, then one says that God accepts halfway measures, that one accepts half rejections, that God will accept a person being partially good and partially bad. But yet it is clear, both from Scripture and from logic, that nothing defiled can enter heaven. And therefore, the invincibly ignorant person must follow the natural inclination of his heart to seek truth, to commit himself to the truth, to seek wisdom from God, and then we have the assurances from God in Holy Scripture that at that point he will hear the voice of Jesus. And if he hears the voice of Jesus, he will understand which church to join. And once he understands which church to join, we are simply dealing with a matter of mechanics, or perhaps geography. And if we do not believe that God can overcome the matter of mechanics or geography, then we do not believe in God. And if we do not believe in God, we cannot be saved. Because as it says in Hebrews, you must first believe in God and that he rewards those who seek him diligently. How could he fail to reward those who seek him diligently except by giving them the truth which will lead to salvation and to permanent peace, rest, and joy in heaven? Briefly to summarize, it is my position that invincible ignorance is the natural lot of every human being who has ever been born, with the exception of Jesus. The reason is that the knowledge necessary for salvation, the faith necessary for salvation, is a supernatural gift and can be given only by God to us through an infusion, usually through the sacramental reception of baptism. It is that and that alone which informs us of the nature of God, and it is that which overcomes our invincible ignorance. And invincible is sort of a oxymoron. Nothing can be invincible against God. Nothing can be invincible against his love, his power, his concern, and his compassion. Additional copies of this tape may be obtained by contacting us. Or, if you wish to comment or make suggestions, please let us know. You may contact us at ARM55PALEN, P-A-L-E-N, Road, L-38, Hope Well, that's one word, Junction, State is New York, zip is 12533. God bless. Thank you for listening.